Heavenly Father, as we prepare to look into your word, we will complete the second of a two-part series today. Father, in this world that we live in, sometimes we have to put up barriers or walls just to keep ourselves physically safe. But Lord, I pray that you would lay it upon the heart and mind of every person in your house right now. This is a safe place where we can let our guard down, where we can allow ourselves to be vulnerable. Father, we pray that your word would penetrate deep into our hearts and our minds. There are many of us who are not living like we should be. We say that we want to know what your will is, but then we don't carry out the part of your will that you've already shown us. Father, we want to start making some changes on that today. We pray that you would help us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, last week we started a two-part mini-series, if you will, on a biblical plan for success. And our text was Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. That is also going to be our text for today, the same verses we had in the scripture reading. The title of today's message is A Biblical Plan for Success, Part 2. Why did I title it that? Well, because last week's title was A Biblical Plan to Success, Part 1, and that just seemed like it made sense. Now, we're going to be studying these same verses that we studied last week. In our message from last week, just to give you a quick review, especially important if you missed the first part of this, we learned that the first thing we need in order to live a life that is biblically successful is a full dependence on God. We've got to trust God with all of our heart, acknowledge Him in all our ways. That's what these verses tell us. That means that we have to have a complete confidence in Him. We have a complete confidence in Him and a constant compliance to His will. That means we trust Him and then we do what He says in His word. Now, our second point from last week was that if we do the first thing, if we express that full dependence on God in our lives, then He will give us faithful direction. So first, we express the full dependence. He responds by giving faithful direction. Do you see how that works? God says, hey, here's what I want you to do. And if you do this, then here's what I'm going to do for you. Now, I told you last week that over the course of the next 2 weeks, I was going to tell you four ways that God gives us faithful direction. And I gave you the first one of those four last week. God directs us through His Word, okay? I gave you a whole bunch of Bible verses to drive that home, among which was this, the theme verse from our Pioneer Club class. Psalm 119:105. Say it if you know it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. That's the verse. God directs us through His word. Now that everybody's up to speed on what we covered last week, at least some of it, we're going to carry on here. We're going to pick up the action right here and continue to learn about how God gives us faithful direction and how that pertains to His biblical plan for success. See, in addition to God directing us through His word, He also directs us through prayer. See, sometimes you may need guidance in a specific area of your life that the Bible does not give you a detailed, specific answer on. Example, young ladies, the Bible is not going to tell you exactly who you're supposed to marry. The Bible does tell you that you need to marry a Christian man. That's as far as the Bible goes. Fellas, the Bible is not going to tell you what college to go to, or maybe whether you should join the military instead of going to college. But if you are praying, if you're seeking God's will, He'll guide you through that prayer. Let me give you a couple examples of what I'm talking about. After Judas Iscariot hanged himself, the 11 apostles that remained, they said, man, we need to put a new guy in our group so we have 12 again. Jesus put 12 guys together. We need a 12th man again. We want to be faithful to the great commission he gave us in Matthew 28. Now, how did they pick this guy? Well, first they started out with a bunch of candidates who had been there all along. They met specific qualifications. That was the first part. But then after they narrowed it down to two guys, they said, well, wait a minute, man. We don't know which one to choose. Both of these guys are pretty good. Who should we pick? Any guess on how they made that decision? They prayed. Acts 1:24 says, then they prayed. Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen. Now, when you're praying, keep this in mind, friends. Prayer is a two-way street. You don't have to do all the talking. Tell God what's on your mind, but then listen. And I don't mean listen with your ears. I mean, if you come to me and tell me that the Lord spoke to you in an audible voice and he sounded a lot like Charlton Heston, I'm going to be a little worried about you, okay? But through the power of the Holy Spirit, God does speak to our hearts if we listen. Acts 8:29, we're told that Philip, one of the leaders in the early first century church, we're told that he was a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, one day, Philip, man, he's walking down the road. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit speaks to his heart, the verse says, and tells him, hey, Philip, you see that fella in the chariot over there riding along reading the book of Isaiah? Go over to that chariot and stay real near it. Philip listened to what the Holy Spirit was telling his heart, and what was the result? The man in that chariot got saved that day. Philip led him to the Lord and then even baptized him because God directed Philip by allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to his heart. Acts 13:2, here's another example. We're told in the early church that there were prophets and teachers who were worshiping and fasting. Folks, part of that worship is prayer. And while those guys were doing that, the Holy Spirit spoke to their hearts and said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. God directed these guys through their worship and prayer, and what was the result? He said, set aside Barnabas and Saul for me. What happened? Well, Saul went on to become the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary the world has ever seen. The Holy Spirit spoke to his heart and gave him faithful direction, and what was the result of him listening? Two-thirds of the books in the New Testament were penned by Paul. He was directed by the Holy Spirit. Let me give you one more example here. You know what? Before I do, let's ask this question. How do we know what God wants for us here at Woodburn Bible Church? How can we know his plans for this church? Well, just like the men and women of the Bible, we have to pray, we have to fast, we have to seek his face. And we've got to open our hearts, man, when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. He will direct us. Now, one more example of this where the Holy Spirit speaks to the heart I want to give you is found in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there was a man named Nehemiah. He was a great leader. He went back to Jerusalem after it had been destroyed, and God tasked him with rebuilding the wall around the city, which he did, I might add. But in Nehemiah 7:5, we read this. Nehemiah says, so God put it into my heart to assemble the nobles and so on. I'm not going to read the rest of the verse there because the point I want to get across to you was that it was God who told Nehemiah what to do by speaking to his heart. Nehemiah prayed and God faithfully directed him and told him what he should do. Brothers and sisters, has God ever laid anything on your heart? Would you like him to? Here's the key. When you begin to commit every area of your life to Him. When you display that complete dependence on God, when you stop leaning on your own understanding, God takes the Bible and He begins to direct you through His Word. God takes the Holy Spirit and He begins to guide you through your prayer. So there's two ways God guides us, through His Word and through prayer. The third way He guides us is through wisdom. When you display a full dependence on God, He'll give you wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. That's not a question. It will be given to him. What's wisdom? Hey, one definition of biblical wisdom is spiritual common sense, folks. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will. Question, why would God renew your mind if He didn't want you to use it? So many of us are sitting around saying, well, man, I wish I knew what the Lord's will is. And in some cases, He's already told you. Do it. Use your mind. Think for yourself a little bit. When you're committed and surrendered to the Lord Jesus, when in all your ways you're acknowledging Him, when you've got that full dependence on Him that we talked about, He's going to direct you through His Word. He's going to direct you through prayer. He's going to direct you through wisdom. And he will allow you to understand what His will is. Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. 1 Corinthians 10:15, Paul says, I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Paul's telling you that when God gives you wisdom and spiritual common sense, there are some things that it's okay for you to judge yourself. You don't have to spend a bunch of time on some things praying for hours and hours about them. When God guides you with wisdom, there are some things you can just go ahead and take care of. Example, when you got up this morning to come to church, did you have to pray about whether or not you was going to put some socks on? Not whether you would be able to, but whether you should. Yeah. Fellas, I mean, did you have to pray about which tie to wear? Ladies, did you have to pray about which dress to put on? Well, maybe some of you should do that. But no, you don't have to pray about those things. God has given you wisdom. Use it. Use the wisdom He's given you. He guides us through His Word. He guides us through prayer. He guides us through wisdom. And finally, He guides us through providence. That means if you're trusting Him with all your heart, you're acknowledging Him in all your ways, God will direct you like a Jesus-powered guided missile through your Christian life. How does He do it? Through providence. He will open doors and He will close doors to make sure you go exactly where you're supposed to go. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, the Lord Jesus says, I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. And the verse right before that, Revelation 3, 7, tells us that what God opens, nobody can close. And what He closes, nobody can open. God gives us faithful direction by His own providence. Speaking of that, back in 1972, when I was a small lad, Dr. Adrian Rogers became the pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church in Tennessee. At that time, that church had a membership of 9,000 people. Think about that for a minute. We have 1,800 people in all of Bunker Hill and Woodburn. That's what the sign says when you come into town, 1,800 people. Math teachers, 1,800 times 5, what is it? 9,000. 5 times the total population of Bunker Hill was members at this church. That's a big church. Well, a few years into Dr. Rogers' pastorate there, by the grace of God and because of some mighty fine preaching, and if you've ever heard him, you know what I'm talking about, the church began to grow. In fact, it got so big that even with multiple Sunday morning services, they were out of room. People didn't have places to park. They started making plans to build a new church. And they wondered, wow, where should we build this new church? And they decided, well, man, downtown Memphis, obviously. That's where all the people are. Let's build the church there, and people will just fill it up. And Dr. Rogers said, we started looking all over downtown Memphis. And, you know, we tried to move heaven and earth to get some property there, and the harder we looked, the more doors got slammed in our faces. He said, we were getting discouraged. We knew it was God's will because we were out of room. But no matter how hard we tried, there was always some obstacle, some door that got closed in our face that prevented us from doing this. Well, finally, after some time, he was down in Orlando, Florida, at a speaking engagement, and after speaking several nights in a row, he got back to the hotel one night. I mean, he was ready for some much-needed sleep, man. Adrian Rogers was plumb worn out. And he said, you know, I'm usually a really sound sleeper. But when I laid down that night, it was like God had given me a rock for a pillow. Sleep fled from my eyes. And I began to pray, and I felt the Lord speaking to my heart, and he said, Adrian, don't build my church in downtown Memphis. You're going the wrong way. You're trying to pour water uphill, son. You're going the wrong direction. You need to go outside of Memphis into the outskirts. Look for some land there. That's where I want my church to be built. Now, he said, man, I just knew in my heart that was God speaking, but it didn't make any sense. I went and I told the board, you guys are going to think I'm crazy, but God has really laid this on my heart. I think we're supposed to start looking for land outside of the city. Well, if those guys on the board did think he was crazy, they didn't tell him. And they began to look for land. And Dr. Rogers said, you know, when we were looking in Memphis, it was just bam, bam, bam. One door slammed in our face right after another. As soon as we began to look in that unincorporated area out there, doors began to open all over the place. Everything just fell into place. It was like God was saying, this is it. Come on in. This is where you're going to build my church, and this is where I'm going to bless you. And they followed God's direction. He opened the door for that new church to be built. And do you know what happened? By 2005, when Dr. Rogers was called home, that church of 9,000 had grown to a church of 29,000. They reached more people. They won more souls for Jesus, donated millions upon millions of dollars more to missions than they ever dreamed was humanly possible. And this all started with God speaking to a man's heart through prayer. See, folks, God knows what he's doing. Not only did that church grow, but that little state of Cordova, Tennessee, that ended up becoming the fastest growing area in the entire state. Today, it has actually been annexed to be part of Memphis. This is the way God works. When we're praying, when we're walking in the Spirit, and when we're trusting God with all of our heart, when we're acknowledging him in all our ways, he will direct our paths. He does it through his word. He does it through prayer. He does it through wisdom, and he does it through providence. And I've already given you 2 points of the biblical plan to success. I've told you that the first one is that you must express a full dependence on God. The second is that you must follow his faithful direction. And folks, when you're doing that, God will provide a forceful dynamic. That's the third and final key. Look at Proverbs 3:6 again. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Your path straight. Now, I'm not a big Hebrew and Greek guy. You know this about me. I speak English, and I don't even do that well. But in this case, I want to share this with you. In the original text, the Hebrew word that's used for straight literally means to cut and to blaze a straight path. I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about in another place in the Old Testament. Listen to this description. This is what God does. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 and 4. A voice of one calling. In the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Here's what he does. Listen. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. What does that mean? Folks, it means that when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, when you trust him with every area of your life, he's going to send a spiritual bulldozer to knock down those obstacles in your path that seem impossible to get over or get around or get through. Not only does God show us the way, he clears the way. See, we are weak flesh and blood women. God knows it's not just enough for him to show us the way when there are immovable obstacles on our path. That's why God says, you don't have to worry about the obstacles. I'm gonna clear them out of your way. I'm going to fire up the caterpillar and I'm going to move those obstacles. All you got to do is trust in me. Now, today, most of you are probably going to watch a football game, which leads me to this illustration. Here's how God works. If you listen to old interviews from when Walter Payton was still alive, or maybe you listen to an interview with Emmitt Smith, the NFL all-time leading rusher, or you hear a guy like Marshall Faulk talk, and the reporters say, man, how did you rack up so many yards? How did you score so many touchdowns? These guys all say exactly the same thing. The only reason I was able to do what I did was because I had faithful teammates who blocked those defenders, who drove them out of my way and gave me a clear path where I could run. That's how I did it. Folks, that's what God does for us. When those problems in life are crushing down on us, they're heavy on our shoulders, God says, don't worry. I'm going to take care of these obstacles. You just keep your eyes on me. As I was preparing for this message, I ran across a story about a well-known evangelist from the late 1800s named Dr. Henry Morehouse. There's a college in Atlanta, Georgia called Morehouse College. It's named after him. Dr. Morehouse began his ministry back in 1864, and he was an evangelist. He traveled all over the country, and in the 1860s, when he started out, that wasn't very easy. Wasn't no four-wheel drive pickups in those days. Sometimes he'd be gone for weeks at a time. But whenever he came home, he would bring a present for his family. Dr. Morehouse had a precious little daughter. She was born with a physical disability that caused her legs not to work very well at all. All of her life, she either got around on crutches or she would just sit down and scoot around the house. One time, Dr. Morehouse came home. He'd been gone for a bunch of weeks. He walks in the door, and there's his little girl on the floor. He's got a heavy present in his arms. And she says, "Daddy, did you bring that present for Mama?" And he said, "Yeah, baby, this is for your Mama." And she said, "Give it to me. I want to take it to Mom." And he said, "Sweetheart, this present's heavy. You're not going to be able to do that." And she said, "I can do it. Give me that present. I want to take it to Mama." He said, "Baby, this thing is heavy. You can't hold this in your hands and then get on your crutches and take this to your mom." Now, for any of you here that have a little daughter or a little granddaughter, know this. His little girl was no different. Once she had her mind firmly made up about something, nothing you say is going to change it. And finally, she said, "Daddy, I can do it. Give me that present and let me take it to Mommy." He knew she wasn't going to give up. He handed her the present. He said, "There you go, baby." She looked up at him with that present in her arms and she said, "Daddy, now pick me up and take me to Mama." God has done that for me so many times. He's given me a job. He's given me a message. Then he just picks me up and he carries me. God will do that for you. Trust in him with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. He'll make it straight. Now, this sermon is called A Biblical Plan for Success. And when some of you saw that title, you may have thought, "Well, man, I thought this was going to be about finances and stuff like that." Well, hold on a minute, because part of the sermon does touch on that. Proverbs 3, verse 9. This is the King James version I'm quoting now. That ought to make some of you happy. "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." See, it's like this. When we get serious about looking for the will of God, we're going to begin to see the alls in verses 5 through 10. Here's what I'm talking about. Look at these verses. Verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Verse 6, "In all your ways acknowledge him." Verse 9, "Honor the Lord with all thine increase." You see a pattern here, folks? This is why we spent 2 weeks on these verses. When your worship, when your walk, and when your wealth are given over to him, you'll know the will of God. Put those alls in your life and live them. Don't play games with God. Are you serious about knowing and doing his will? You know, so many people say, "Oh, I wish I knew the will of God." Let me give you a clue. Start by doing the things that are near to you that you already know are his will. If you do that, he's going to reveal more of his will to you. That's a biblical principle. Luke 16:10, Jesus himself says, "Whoever can be trusted with a little bit can also be trusted with very much." One commentary I read says it like this. You ask, "What is the will of God?" Well, here's the answer true. The nearest thing that should be done that he can do through you. Start with the things that are near you. Start with the little things that you know are God's will and do them. But do something. Because nobody can steer a ship that ain't moving. Now, as we prepare to close, I want to ask you all, please bow your heads right now. All eyes are closed. Now, over the last 2 weeks, I've shared with you folks a biblical plan for success. But let me end by telling you this. None of these steps are possible without first knowing Jesus is your Savior. And if you have never prayed to receive him into your heart, oh, I encourage you to do it right now. We're told in the scripture that Jesus is standing at the door of our heart and he's knocking. All you got to do is open the door and ask him to come in. So if you have never prayed to receive him as your Savior, if you don't have confidence about your eternal destination, I invite you to pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I acknowledge my sin. I know my sins deserve judgment, but I also know that you love me. I know that you want to save me. Jesus, you promised to save me if I put my trust in you. I do trust you. I believe you carried my sins to the cross. I believe you paid the debt for my sins with your blood. I believe God raised you from the dead. And right now, at this very moment, I open my heart to you. I receive you as the Lord and Savior of my life. I don't ask for a sign. I don't look for a feeling. I simply stand on your word. Thank you for saving me. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. In your name I pray. Amen. There's the biblical plan of success, folks. God bless you.